Best of Times Radio Hour live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. Do thank you for listening to our show today, and also thanking those who might be listening via the internet, and also thanking those who might be listening via the Kiel applications on their Apple or Android devices. We also thank the many thousands who listen to our podcast of our radio show on Apple Podcasts, as well as from our website, thebestoftimesnews.com. We do thank AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer for being the exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn about the current and future improvements to our Shreveport Regional Airport. And also, we're going to learn about the advantages of flying out of our own Shreveport Airport. So stay to this radio show to learn some beneficial information for you and your loved ones. It is Saturday, December the 21st, and we are broadcasting our radio show today from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept calling questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. There's only a few days left until Christmas Day. A lot of last-minute shopping and errands and gifts and treats and traffic galore. So be patient, everyone. And there's many of you deciding to even add more lights and more attractions to your homes and insides. And sometimes it's friendly competition among neighbors and family members. But as I see, the days before Christmas, there are a lot more people adding things to their Christmas decorations inside as well as outside. Of course, the ladies of the house and gentlemen even are preparing the wonderful food to be served on Christmas Day for family and friends. And also they're sending their spouses like me to go to the grocery store at the last minute to get those last minute food items and ingredients that they forgot to get a few weeks ago. So I advocate to you, stay calm and bright, even with these crises and chaos before Christmas Day. I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas and, of course, a Happy New Year. Be sure to pick up the November-December issue of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. There are very few copies of this popular issue, but you can always go to our website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues, as well as you can view the 2024 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory, and you can listen to previously broadcast radio shows here on The Best of Times Radio Hour. Speaking of the 2024 Silver Pages, we are working on the 2025 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. It's our most popular publication. We print over 25,000 copies and more than 15,000 downloaded from our popular website. That is, it's a directory that is used. This is going to be our 23rd edition of this Silver Pages, and it's going to be completely updated. It's going to be available on March 1st of 2025. Each and every month, The Best of Times sends out a newsletter via e-blast to over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers in Caddo and Bossier parishes. It gives them links to read our current issue as well as to read our current Silver Pages, but it also includes more educational articles that are not found in the current issue of The Best of Times magazine. Join the many thousands who are receiving this free newsletter via their email. Visit our website, bestoftimesnews.com, to subscribe free of charge to this TBT newsletter. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to The Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. Now back to The Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Kiel.
Welcome back to our show, The Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show today. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Mr. Mark Crawford, who is the Business and Development Manager for our fabulous Shreveport Regional Airport. So thank you, Mark, for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been a while since you've been on my show. I think it's been several years. I went and looked back.
Yes, it's been too long, for sure. Thank you for inviting me.
Well,
Invite me more often.
I will. You love being on the radio and television.
Absolutely. I'm happy to talk or wave at anybody, for sure.
Waving at everybody. But you're definitely the PR person at our Shreveport Regional Airport, and everybody sees you and promotes our fabulous airport to all those people throughout the United States, not just in the Shreveport-Bossier area, correct?
Yes, all over the country and all over the world, absolutely.
And you make the name of Shreveport-Bossier City quite well known.
Yes, we try to do that and get as many people aware of all the offerings we have at the airport and in Shreveport-Bossier as well, too.
No, that's important. That's important. So, again, thank you taking time to be on the show. And it's a busy season. It's a busy season at the airport. And, again, I compliment you. There's been a lot of exciting improvements and changes made to our airport. We're going to talk about those in a few minutes. But I thought my listeners might want to know a little bit about the history of our Shreveport Regional Airport, because it has some remarkable history that I think some of the other airports can't say that they have that, right?
That's right. One interesting fact about Shreveport and the original airport land, which is at the Shreveport Downtown Airport, just north of downtown, we were the original destination or a stopping point, I should say, for Delta Airlines back in 1929. So Delta was founded and formed in Monroe. And their first flight was from Monroe to Shreveport. So that's all the way back to June of 1929, even before there was a terminal building at the downtown airport.
Even before that.
So yes, the terminal building didn't open until 1931.
And Delta was really a crop dusting company, right? Weren't they?
Yes.
They decided to take passengers. And
yes.
And then the great need to go that 90 miles, because back then there was no interstate. So
right.
they had to go on Highway 80, and it was lots of traffic lights. It took them probably hours, four hours at least.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can take they weren't jets back then, but they were prop planes.
Uh-huh.
They could take a few passengers that went. So, yes, and that's Delta's start and what they are today. And they still keep that route, right?
They do. We have five flights a day to Atlanta. We go up to six flights a day in May, which gets us above 2019 levels. Everything kind of in the aviation world at times is still judged based on pre-pandemic versus post-pandemic. So we're thankful that Delta continues to serve Shreveport with nonstop service to Atlanta. And in 2029, so a few short years away, we'll celebrate 100 years of Delta in Shreveport.
Awesome. That's good. So, again, everyone, there still is a downtown airport.
There is.
Is that managed by the city of Shreveport as well?
So the airport authority is charged with managing both the downtown airport and regional airport. So I work for the airport authority, and so we are responsible for managing both of those airports.
And the downtown airport's mainly used for private, right?
Correct. There is no commercial service at the downtown airport. There was only commercial service, or including commercial service, I should say, up until 1952 when the regional airport opened. But even today, downtown airport is a bustling general aviation airport, we like to call it, with a restaurant in the terminal building there, Sky Grill. If you've not been, I would love for you to take me to lunch out there, so let me know when you'd like to go.
Yes, definitely.
But the food is delicious. I go down there once or twice a month at least. And the food's great, so I would highly recommend it to anybody.
Well, I have actually been there.
Oh, good.
Yes,
oh, good.
And it's very good.
But you've not taken me. You should take me.
No, I haven't taken you, Mark, but I plan to. So tell our listeners, why was the new airport located where it is?
So if you look at the—
But in 19 – when the year was opened, just to interrupt, there was no interstate there, right?
Right, correct. So in the late 40s, town leaders or city leaders at the time realized that there was not a lot of room to expand the downtown airport. So if you look at an aerial view of the downtown airport, it's surrounded on three sides by the Red River. And so the jet age was just beginning, and the runways were not long enough to accommodate even the smaller jets that were coming around at that point. So they started looking for a new place to go. There were several sites that were considered, but they chose the Hollywood location, they called it at the time, I guess because of its proximity to Hollywood avenue there. An interesting fact, if you've driven around the airport on 70th Street, you kind of have to curve around the far end of the airport. Before the airport was there, 70th Street cut right through the property. So there are times where we have to do certain projects, construction projects, because the old ditches and irrigation canals and culverts have finally failed from, you know, decades and decades ago. So we start getting random sinkholes out there that we have to fix with a construction project to make sure there's no sinkholes on the airfield. So it's a little bit of interesting trivia there. Also, if you've gone down Hollywood, towards 70th Street, you may notice you kind of go below. You're not underground, obviously, but on either side of the road, the dirt is much higher than you are. And so when they were building that road, or when they were cutting Hollywood through that area, they cut out that dirt so that the traffic would not be as high as the planes were. So originally the land was all level with the where the runway is, and they cut that out so that 18-wheelers or any trucks or anything that were coming through at the time would not affect the air traffic. So that's interesting trivia there as well.
Very good. I love that kind of trivia.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, really smart thinking of some of our engineers and predecessors as well. So, again, I think it's a convenient location. Some of my guests and people say, it's too far away. It's almost into Texas. And so, you know.
I promise you, when I started there almost 14 years ago, I thought, man, I'm going to have to drive all the way out to the airport every single day for work, and I can do it in about 7 minutes. So, and I live in South Highland, so it's not that far.
And you know, and again, nothing's really a far away in Shreveport. We're not like some of these cities in Denver where the airport's like, you know, 45 minutes away from most things, and it's way out in nowhere land.
Right. And, we're much better off than that.
But, you know, but over the period of history, there have been lots of expansions and lots of renovation projects, correct?
There have, absolutely. The original airport terminal building opened July 6, 1952, and we just celebrated our 73rd anniversary back in July. That was the building there until Halloween of 1971, when the current terminal two, or the terminal, current terminals opened, the concourses opened, and then in November of 99, the terminal building that is there with the current ticket counters and rental cars and baggage lane, that opened at the end of 99, and so it's all been merged together. And a couple months ago, Signature Aviation, which handles all the general aviation traffic at Regional Airport and all the fueling of the commercial planes, opened their brand new, almost $11 million terminal building where the former 1952 terminal building was. They tore that down last year to, we were hoping they would try to save it, but there were lots of issues with that because the building was 72 years old at the time.
At least that, yes.
And so they tore it. It was easier to, and I guess more cost effective, to build a brand new terminal, which is beautiful. So feel free to stop by. Anybody can feel free to stop by and look at that general aviation terminal anytime they want to. It's great over there.
And explain, that terminal is also used for private jets, private entities, different companies that have their jets and their planes there, right?
Exactly, yes. So there's lots of tenants. We have about 65 hangars at Regional Airport.
Wow.
So there's a lot of private hangars at the airport, so they can, if they decide they don't want to be in their hangar for some reason or having work done, they can park over there at the general aviation ramp. Anytime, a lot of the casinos have corporate jets that come in to visit their properties. They'll park there at the signature area. Next week, when the teams for the Independence, I guess one of the teams will fly, and I guess Louisiana Tech probably will drive. But when Army comes, the charter flights for all of the football teams come into that same terminal as well.
Yes. So back into a little history about myself, I used to work for Texas Eastern Gas Pipeline Company, and we had a slew of Gulf Streams, many of them. And every time we would go out, we'd have to go out from the airport there, and that's where we would catch our private planes to go to Houston or wherever else they took us, anywhere in the United States and the world. So that's when I started flying a lot, back when I became an engineer with Texas Eastern.
That's
right
cool,
there. So I used to go there. But occasionally they would ship me, commercials.
Commercial,
so I would go, in addition, I would go to the other terminal.
Yeah.
But if we went with Texas Eastern plane, we went to that particular that private terminal. So, you know, one thing I think my listeners might find fascinating, because I drive, they see it. What is the big Airport Industrial Park. I've noticed that's been used for many years, that big terminal.
Yes.
And out there.
So there is a big hangar that is there. Western Global is the current tenant of that that hangar. If you drive by or fly into Regional Airport, you may notice a lot of old former passenger planes, MD-11s with three engines, one in the tail and two under the wings. Those are former passenger planes that are now used for cargo. So Western Global is an all-cargo airline. They do cargo services all over the world. They do a lot of government flying, CIA kind of stuff, where there are times where they, you know, they'll let us know between this date and that date you can't come into the hangar because we're doing something with our plane. You know,
whoa.
So we steer clear of the property then. But they do. They also have 747s there
as well. I saw that.
So,
yes.
Which is it's great to see 747. You know, those are so rare nowadays. Used to they were you know
everywhere
going all the time. Now it's so rare to see them. They're only used for cargo in the United States, and so we're always happy to see them.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't we have to increase the runway to accommodate the 747s?
We did not. That is a rumor that has been around. Yeah. You know, I've been at the airport almost 14 years. That is a rumor that's been around since before me. Thankfully, even before the runway extension that opened about 2 years ago on the secondary runway, the main runway is just over 8,000 feet long and can accommodate even a B-52. So that runway is good to go for virtually anything that'll fly.
And B-52s do occasionally circle and play like they're landing, right?
They do. They come in the pattern, the aviation pattern, and do touch and goes and do approaches, things like that. So we always love seeing them fly by for sure.
Yes, because I see them cross over I live on Cross Lake, so they come around.
And oh, yeah.
I get the bottom of them, and then I can see them going at the regional airport.
Yeah.
So that's good to know that it's a commercial enterprise, a global airline.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, I've seen it for many, many years. It's been there a while, hadn't it?
Western Global moved in, I guess, like in 2017 they moved in. So they've been there a while, yeah.
Well, that's
sure.
good. We hope they stay and hope you get more tenants there.
We are always working, for sure.
Okay, the other question I had somebody ask me about privately, is Federal Express and all those other carriers also fly into our airport, correct?
Yes, at least once a day. So now UPS has an operation there. FedEx has an operation there. There's another operator, Mountain Air Cargo. They are a feeder airport, feeder airline for FedEx. And so we have at least three cargo flights a day, every day, but usually late November and all of December, FedEx and UPS add extra flights as well. So that's going on now. So there's those come in on A300 aircraft or 767 aircraft. So those are huge, much larger planes than we're used to seeing come in and out during the holiday season. So we're always happy to welcome them also.
But that is a positive thing for
the
airport.
It's a great thing.
Because it adds revenue into
it. It does.
So explain to our listeners. I've had more of my listeners out there are confused that they think that the Shreveport Airport, Regional Airport, is owned by the airlines. And they share in the profits and the cost and that you are employed by them. Who are you employed by?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. So the airport building is owned by the city of Shreveport. The airport authority manages that. So like I mentioned, we work for the airport authority. We're governed by a 5-member board. So they make all the decisions about virtually everything that happens at the airport. We are completely self-funded. So even though we are a department of the city of Shreveport, we are completely self-funded. Yes, so that's a rule in the city charter, and that is also a federal requirement. So we generate all of our own funds. So the thing I hear sometimes is that, well, you know, when I buy a ticket, I'm paying your salary. Well, actually, you're not. That's going to I said that wrong. I pay taxes.
Yeah.
So I pay your salary. And I was like, no, actually, that's not how that works. We basically charge anybody that operates at the airport, whether that's an airline, that's a rental car company, the restaurant, even TSA, even the FAA, all those entities. We have to have the FAA there for the air traffic control tower, but they rent that air traffic control tower from us. TSA rents office space from us. Even though they have to be there, TSA rents that space. The airlines rent space. The rental cars rent space. You pay to park there. So we have lots of ways of generating revenue because we have to be completely self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient. Never knew that. Okay.
So no tax dollars. Let me be very clear. No tax dollars go to support the airport.
That's a very good statement.
Yes.
I'm glad you met. I think most people think that our taxes pay for that.
Absolutely not. We are completely self-funded.
And the other thing, tell our listeners, because they get it on there, they see it on their tickets sometimes. I think most of them show it all, is there's an airport fee or a landing fee, or what is that for?
So there is a passenger facility charge, or a PFC. It's $4.50. That the airport gets $4.39 of that. The airline keeps the other 11 cents for collecting it. But basically that goes for, that is money that is used towards maintaining the facility. So like when we needed a new roof on Concourse B, because there was some issues there, a couple roof leaks, we were able to fund that through passenger facility charge. There are new, great, passenger boarding bridges.
Yes.
So most of the time you don't have to go down the stairs. Sometimes that still happens. But most of the time you're going down a passenger boarding bridge, that is also funded by a passenger facility.
And those
charge.
Are not cheap, particularly.
They are not. No, they are not at all.
Very, very expensive.
They're almost $500,000 each. So,
whoa.
Yes. So that passenger facility charge, again, is $4.50 of your total ticket price, and the airport gets $4.38 from that.
So, Mark, you might want to mention, because I think my listeners out there are thinking this question, if they could call in. Is that the same fee in Dallas, or there's a bigger fee in all various cities?
So every airport doesn't have a passenger facility charge. If you, and not to get too deep into these details, but you have to, if you're going to charge a passenger facility charge for something, the airlines all have to agree that it's something that should be for a passenger facility charge. So if we decided we wanted to paint all the walls purple, the airlines may say, you know what, we're not going to pay for that. You have to pay for that on your own. So with jet bridges,
okay.
New flooring, new seating, that kind of stuff, they typically have no issues with that. And that is, so a passenger facility charge can be charged on the first two legs of your trip. So if you're going where you're connecting twice or three times international travel, whatever, it's only on the first two legs of the trip. So if you're flying from Shreveport to Dallas to Chicago, let's say, you'd pay the $4.50 for Shreveport, you'd pay the $4.50 in Dallas, but you would not pay in Chicago until you left Chicago to come back home, and then Chicago would get it, Dallas would get it, but Shreveport would not. So that's why your hub airports, and all of them charge passenger facility charges, your hub airports get tens of millions of dollars in passenger facility charge fees to cover the cost of operating the airports.
Well, you know, something had to be done, especially.
Yes.
You've got to collect, you've got to have some revenue in there.
Yes.
So hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour. You're on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today is a special guest, is Mr. Mark Crawford, who is the Business and Development Manager for our fabulous Shreveport Regional Airport. And we are going to be discussing now the current and future improvements to our very own Shreveport Regional Airport. So, Mark, tell us about some new things and new happenings. I know there's been a lot of things happening. So.
There are. We are always working to improve the passenger experience at the airport. We have a new director who's been here. I say new. He's been here. September was 2 years. Larry Blackwell, who is from Homer, born in Homer, grew up in Shreveport, or grew up in Bossier, left for a little while, worked at several other airports, and has come home. Back to Shreveport to be the airport director. And so he actually worked at Shreveport Regional Airport in the early 2000s in the operations department. And when he came back to interview, at that point, the airport was new because it opened in 99, all the refurbishments had happened in 99, so he was there in the early 2000s. So 20 years later, he came back and was kind of like, what happened? Things don't look as nice as they used to. Why are things not as shiny as they used to be?
Whoa.
He was very polite about it. He has thankfully allowed us. He's had some great ideas himself, but he's also allowed us to make the necessary improvements we need. So, like all new flooring, all new seating that's been installed.
The flooring is great, and all the I want to compliment you on that. I don't know if people noticed it before; it was not as wonderful.
It was not. It was carpet.
Yes,
and it was ugly colored carpet.
It was hard to roll.
It was.
If you had your carry-on little bag, it's hard to roll in that carpet. For some reason, it stuck.
It was. And so that carpet is thankfully gone. It's all wonderful brown and blue vinyl plank. The hold rooms still have carpeting in there, so it's a little more quiet there than it is on the concourses. But we've just bought or having installed almost $1 million worth of brand new seating. So,
wow.
As I mentioned earlier, the terminal building originally opened in 1971, and some of that furniture was original to the building, and that is not a joke. And so
it's still from 1971. Cheers.
Yes. So there is. It's kind of funny. The Delta seating. That we just moved out in exchange for the new seating that was put in last week I found a photo, I don't know, a year or two ago from my senior trip in 2000 from high school. When I graduated high school, we were going to Disney World, and the same exact seating from 25 years ago was in that photo that was in the hold room until last week. So the seating was long overdue. Upgrade was long overdue. So there's the traditional row seating where it's a bunch of seats in a row. We had some power bar tables where you're able to put a laptop out and plug in. Everything has power, which is great. And then also some club chair seating areas where it's individual seats.
Oh, that's good. I was going to ask you, more charging areas. That's the only complaint I had from people when I'm flying out in various Delta or American and United. Everybody's saying, where's the plugs? And they were people bring their own power strips.
Well, everything every bit of the new furniture has power.
Awesome.
We are working. Some of that is going to require some electrical work to get installed, as much of it's powered up as it can be right now. But I would say probably by the end of the first quarter for sure, but hopefully sooner. By the end of the first quarter next year, we will have all the new furniture will certainly be in place. All of our new restaurants, which that's a whole other big topic there.
Yeah.
New restaurants will be in place. We opened in July. The former Taco Mania, the people that own Taco Mania, brought them out of retirement to have them allow the restaurant operator at the airport to serve their delicious dishes. I'm in Taco Mania way too often, eating the great cheese enchiladas with sour cream sauce. And yes, it tastes just like the restaurant did. We get that question a lot.
Yeah.
Also at the main, that's at the main TSA checkpoint location. Also in that same space is Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, which is like a Starbucks. So you can get everything from flavored teas to iced coffee to just, you know, regular black coffee, you know, whatever, any kind of coffee drinks you want there. Pumpkin, they had pumpkin stuff earlier in the year. They have peppermint coffee now. So that's exciting. Over on the Delta Concourse, there's Notini's Italian with everything from pizzas, Italian salads, po' boys of all kinds over there. What should open hopefully early January is the Great Raft Tap Room. That will open over on the American side, and that'll be burgers and fries and chicken wings and pretzels and that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
And then a Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf location at each of those on the concourses, so you don't have to come back to the main checkpoint. And something I'm probably most excited about, all those are very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm most excited about, and this should happen probably second quarter, is a Southern Made Donut kiosk pre-security. So we see people, my office overlooks the checkpoint, and so I see people coming, going all the time.
I wave at you, Katie.
Yes, thank you, thank you. And we see people bringing all kinds of local food through. People will bring Johnny's Pizzas through, or Southern Made Donuts through, or all kinds of various local food items. So we were able to partner with Southern Made Donuts, and there will be a Southern Made Donut kiosk pre-security. Whether you're coming or going, you'll be able to get some great Southern Made Donuts.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, the question I've had for most listeners out there, because I hate to say this, when I go to the airport, Mark, you know that I'm not there that long.
Right.
I don't get to partake of some of those restaurants unless there's been a cancellation or delay. Then yes, we do. Are there restaurants you have to have a ticket to go through TSA to go to the restaurants, to say to Taco Mania?
You do right now. We are working with TSA, our great friends at TSA, who don't always work as fast as we'd like them to, on joining a program they offer at multiple other airports all over
the
country. Yeah, so like Lafayette, for example, they have a new terminal building that opened maybe a year or two ago. They have a visitor pass program. Dallas, DFW, they have a visitor pass program as well. There's multiple airports all over the country.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Basically, you pre-register on the airport website, you fill out the form there, you go through the check that you have to go through, and then you're notified if you're approved or not, and then you show up at the airport. Typically, it's a 24-hour, you do it 24 hours in advance. You show up with your driver's license like you would if you were going on a flight. Your name is in the database. They scan your driver's license, make sure you're good to go, and you can come in to visit, come in and eat. You can come in to send family off. You can be at the gate when grandma flies in if you want to surprise her, that kind of stuff. So we are anxiously awaiting approval from TSA. We kind of thought we'd have it by now. They told us in July we'd have it by the end of the year, and that clock is ticking.
Yes.
So hopefully, definitely first quarter of next year.
Well, that's a positive thing, because I've had a lot of people have to wait for their loved one. They wish they would be able to see him when they deplaned. And
So
I've had more people that come up to me and say, you know, is there any way I can go in there? Do you know if my friend Mrs. Jones left a plane? Ma'am, I don't know. I didn't know her.
Right.
And she said, we've been waiting for her. We hope she made the flight. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, that should hopefully be taken care of early next year sometime.
And that'll be a good experience for people to come, especially if they're going to wait for their loved ones.
Right.
They're going to park. They can go in the restaurant and enjoy. Maybe the flight's delayed coming from Denver, from Houston, from Dallas, from Atlanta, wherever, or Charlotte. They can go in and enjoy a restaurant and enjoy a beer or whatever from their new place that's going to be coming there.
Exactly. We're excited about that.
So I think your tenants, your restaurants are going to really love that as well.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that. We knew that the trend in airports is going local. You know, there used to be McDonald's and Subway and Burger King and all the airports everywhere, and a lot of the major airports are going away from that, and they're going with more local options from that particular area. And so that's why we wanted to challenge our restaurant operator to do that here as well. And so the first full month of – and again, Great Raft didn't even open yet, but the first full month of Notini's being open, of Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, Taco Mania, and the 318 Forum Travel Shop, which is our retail store, the first month of revenue, they did $180,000, which was an airport record.
Whoa,
so
that's good.
They are well on track to do over $2 million in sales the first 12 months of being open, which would be another airport record. That was above 2019 levels. So we're and that's, again, that's the those numbers don't even reflect the third location being open with Great Raft. So we're excited.
So that gives the opportunity if some flight are delayed due to mechanical weather or the hub, someplace where they're going to go, so they can at least now not just sit around the lounge area. They
Absolutely.
Can actually have something to drink, to eat.
Yes.
And so that it adds a lot of good feelings when instead of having just a quick snack bar.
I mean, you have options now, for sure.
Anyway, it's like, you know, we're not as big as some of those Denver and Houston and that has, but I've even seen those. We've been to, of course, all those airports lately, and they have a lot of local.
They do, yes. Everything seems to be going away from, like, your Burger Kings, your Subways. There's nothing wrong with those. I love a good Whopper or a good sandwich. But especially when people are visiting a region for the first time, we're about 30% of our traffic is people that are coming to the market or coming to Shreveport for the first time, or they're coming to the Shreveport flying in, not going out. And so we have to remember that not everyone that's flying out of the airport lives here. So the local flair certainly helps with that, to identify where they are and what Shreveport Bossier is about.
So that's a very positive.
Yes.
More new restaurants now. We're going to have new coming in the very near future.
Yes.
And access to them, hopefully. The new seating, I'm very impressed. And, of course, the charging areas. Everybody's asked me that.
Yes.
So they're already installed partly in Delta area, right?
Delta is almost full. We kind of jokingly said they're fully charged. The Allegiant Gate is fully charged. United is fully charged. Gate 1, which is used by American and United, is fully charged. The only gate, unfortunately, that doesn't have any of their power working yet, and this will be the first one we work on, is the American Gate, which is our busiest gate, but the layout of the furniture didn't really lend itself to use any of the existing power that's available in that space. And so
that's understandable.
Yes. So that'll be the first gate we tackle, is the American Gate.
Okay. So the other changes that let's compliment. The parking is very convenient. And
it
easy.
Is.
I mean, I have had to park in other airports. You didn't have to walk miles or take a tram. It took me in one airport probably an hour and a half to get to it. And also, likewise, let's talk about car rentals.
Right.
Golly. In some airports, it could take you a day to get your car and pick up your car.
It is. I was in Kansas City a couple weeks ago, and they have a brand new, beautiful airport, but they still have their old, same car rental facility, and you had to ride a bus for about 15 minutes to get to the car rental facility.
I hate those airports.
It is challenging, especially when you have to remember to get there extra early when you're going home so you don't miss your flight. So, no, you walk right down the escalator, and there's all the rental car brands. The parking lot is just out the front door. If you've traveled this summer, parking was a challenge at times. Even in the fall, parking was a challenge at times. But thankfully, Santa and Christmas have come early. They started moving dirt in our 300-spot parking lot expansion last week. So we are very, very, very excited about that. Hopefully by sometime midsummer, The extra 300 spots-ish, about 300 spots, will open. We are already working on a second expansion in a different area of some flat grass area that is not really used for anything right now. That'll be on the next part of the agenda. Because right now we have about 1,000 parking spots. This summer there were many days that there were 1,100, 1,200 cars in the parking lot. So we know even once those 300 spots are added, there are days where we will be at capacity with even those parking spots open, the new ones there. So we are not going to wait until, we're not going to wait as long as we did with this time. Larry, like I mentioned, our airport director has identified that as an area of importance that we need to address sooner than later. So that's a great thing.
Because more and more people are putting their cars there, maybe going for a week, 2 weeks, or longer.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the factors of doing. I mean, some, like Caligas is, used to do that a lot, but now we take Uber and Lyft.
Right.
And, yeah, yeah. And mention that. So I had one person ask me, why is there not any designated areas like they see in other airports for Lyft and Uber?
So that is coming. So that is, we had an area that was the curb. You know, there's the yellow front curb that's been there since the beginning of time. We indicated an area for the Lyft and Uber pickup as a green curb area when we had our awning project last year. They redid the whole front curb area and painted over our green curb area. And so that's another place we've identified that we need to address things. We're going to have all new digital signs throughout the airport in the parking lots. That's probably close to the end of next year, just because of the lead time and getting all those ordered and produced. So there will be signage back on the curb for the Lyft and Uber pickup for sure.
Oh, that's going to be wonderful.
And yes.
It's easy. I've had a lot of guests that come say to me, where can I get a taxi? And I said, well, I think the taxi scams are across the median.
They are when they're there. They don't show up like they used to because so many people use Lyft and Uber. But sometimes they're there.
But there's still people needing that.
Yes.
Particular, sir. A lot of people either don't want to use the app. They have the app. I tell this gentleman, but I did have a lot of compliments. You know me; I talked a lot. So when I get off the airport, I meet people that are coming first to Shreveport, and they ask me, where the good places to go, et cetera. And then they said, how do I get transport? I said, you have a rental car? No, I'm gonna probably get a taxi or get an Uber or Lyft. So I said they're very convenient here.
I don't have
any problem getting anyone, and most of them all definitely appreciate that.
Absolutely.
So hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A. Barrowstown and Country Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. And now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and your Barrowstown and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Caligas, and I do thank you for listening to our show today. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Mr. Mark Crawford, who is the Business and Development Manager for the Shreveport Regional Airport. He's been discussing the current and future improvements of our airport, and now we're going to talk about some suggestions about making it easy to fly out of Shreveport for the many destinations throughout the world. So thank you again, Mark, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So our airport has lots of nonstop flights, right?
We do. We have 9 nonstop destinations.
Wow.
So we've talked about Atlanta. That's our first nonstop destination. So we have Atlanta with Delta. With American, we have nonstop to Dallas and Charlotte. United goes to Houston and Denver. Allegiant goes to Las Vegas year-round. They go to Destin, Florida, and Orlando, Florida, seasonally. And we just announced in November a new nonstop service to Nashville that starts in May of next year. So we're very, very excited about nonstop to Nashville.
Nashville with whom?
With Allegiant. Allegiant will go twice a week.
Wow.
I looked last week. I haven't looked lately, but the fares were starting at like $49 each way.
Wow.
So that is, I may go twice, so just because it's so cheap. But no, the Great Fairs to Nashville, that was probably one of our number one top requested leisure destinations was Nashville. So we are hopeful people support that so it can come back year
after
year.
Well, there are a lot of people in the music industry that go to and from Nashville. I know several individuals.
Yeah, well, then I hope they take the flight and, as many times as they can.
I used to be on many flights by happenstance with James Burton.
And yeah.
He was going to Nashville with me. And we have to go to Memphis. That was a few years ago. We had to stop in Memphis and then go over. And one other time, I think we went to Dallas and then went all over to Memphis. And it was a hassle. But had a lot of good stories with him. And I don't know why they put me next to him. So that was pretty
good. That was your lucky day, for sure.
That was my lucky. We had a good chat. I've known him for years and years. And that was pretty awesome. So that's really good. I'm glad.
Yeah, it's about an hour and 20-minute flight. You know, I've driven it before. It's about 8.5 hours, 8 hours. And so it's an hour and 20-minute flight. Awesome. For $100 round trip. So
can't
beat that.
So the other question I had when I was at Christmas in the Sky, again, congratulations for your work in Christmas in the Sky for many, many years. Yours was excellent.
Thank you.
So people have asked about Southwest Airlines.
What is Southwest Airlines? Well, I'm kidding. Southwest.
Who are they?
We get that question all the time. We love Southwest. We talk with Southwest two or three times a year. I was actually at a conference in October, met with them. That was the third time this year. They are very familiar with Shreveport. I'll talk to them at any opportunity I get, just to make sure that they know us. We always want to stay top of mind with them. Southwest is kind of going through some changes now. They have not been profitable in a couple quarters, which is unusual for them because they're normally doing great. So they have actually been reducing service in a lot of cities that are a lot larger than Shreveport.
Wow.
Yes. Now, they're increasing service in other places, but Shreveport is not quite the size that they need it to be for the minimum number of flights they require a day, which is eight departures a day is typically what they go for now.
What?
Yes. So
eight a day?
Eight a day on a 737 that holds anywhere from 150 to 190 people. So that's a lot of extra seats in our market. And at this point, they're not necessarily sure that they could fill those seats. And again, they're reducing service in a lot of other markets that are much larger than Shreveport because they're not able to fill those flights. And then they're not making money there.
Well.
One unique thing that Southwest is finally approved to with their labor agreements to do is offer non-daily flying. Never in the history of Southwest have they offered non-daily flying. And so they are beginning to explore the option for there.
What's non-daily flying?
Non-daily flying. So right now, so this is interesting. So a little bit of history of Southwest. If you remember Braniff Airways, which went out of business in the 80s, 1981, 82.
Yeah, for many times.
Yeah, Southwest bought their operating system software.
Okay.
So Southwest had two schedules because it was Braniff scheduling from that before the 80s. They had a Saturday schedule and they had a every other day schedule, Sunday through Friday schedule. So even if flights on Tuesdays and Wednesdays to certain cities only had a couple people or didn't make any money, they still had to operate the flight because their software wouldn't let them do that, wouldn't let them change that. And that's why also originally why Southwest didn't charge for bags, because the software didn't let them.
Well.
And so it wasn't that they were being nice or that they were, you know, we want to do that as a thank you to our customers. It was because they hadn't paid to upgrade the software to allow to do that. So they are now operating off, they merged with AirTran in 2010. And so they're using much newer software with AirTran. They're finally over in that operating world. And so they are able to do non-daily flying. Yes. Useless trivia there. But they're able to do, they are now able to, technically, with their system, non-daily flying. So maybe they offer flights on, you know, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday instead of Tuesdays and Thursdays. Or no, you know, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are typically slower days than the rest of the week. So they would be able to do non-daily flying on the routes that require that.
I love this. The rest of the information, I bet you haven't ever told anybody on the media this. This is like cool.
This is exclusive content.
Exclusive content. Gary Kaligas at the best of times. So it'll be podcasts, and I'm sure all my friends are when they listen to that show, wow, we didn't know that.
I should do a podcast.
You should do a podcast. So I'm a big proponent of individuals flying from Shreveport because, Mark, I told you, I hear all these people saying, well, I'm getting ready to pack all my family. We're going to drive to Dallas, and we're going to fly out and go to Orlando or New York or wherever, and you know, we're going to save us $100, but then you know, the fare was $100 more. Why should we wait and have to worry about the connections flying from Shreveport? So tell them some of the advantages of flying out of Shreveport.
Well, for sure, and we've kind of mentioned a couple of them already. So we have close parking. We have typically short TSA lines. Sometimes in the morning, you may have to wait 10 minutes, 15 minutes to go through the checkpoint. But the hassle of driving 3 hours to Dallas, pay to park there, there's always traffic. You know, that's not always worth the price that you save. Sometimes it makes sense if, you know, there's a family of four or six and you're going to save $200 a ticket. It might make sense to go from another airport. But I always try to remind people, think of Shreveport Regional Airport as a small business. We can only grow if people support it. So we know that there's a lot of demand to go to Nashville. That's why Allegiant agreed to offer that flight to Nashville. If people decided to drive to Dallas to go to Nashville and didn't fly from Shreveport to go to Nashville, then that flight won't work. So that's why the more you can support your local airport or any other local business for that matter, the better that it'll be. So that's why we always try to remind people of that.
Well, I definitely tell people, think about it. You know, you're parking, you're going to have to drive the car. You're going to have to park it at the airport in Dallas or Houston or Little Rock or wherever. The fees there, I know they're more than
I was going to say, we are much cheaper than Dallas, for sure. Our most expensive lot is $12 a day, and that is a dollar less than the cheapest lot at Love Field. So if you're driving to Love Field to go fly Southwest, their cheapest lot on site is $13 a day.
And, you know, that adds up. The other thing, the gas and the wear and tear on the car.
And your time. Your time's worth something, too.
But also I hear more people saying they're going to go over there and spend a night and then catch that early morning flight. You know, so they're having hotel stay and meals. And it just adds up.
It does add up. And so, again, sometimes it might make sense to go from a different airport. But we always ask people to calculate the true total cost of flying from Shreveport versus somewhere else. And many times it's about the same.
And the other factor is you may be driving over there to catch that flight, but it might be canceled. So you have to spend another day at the hotel that you had only planned to stay in one night.
Exactly. Or flying home, you're delayed and you land in Dallas at 11 o'clock and you still have that 3-hour drive home.
That's true.
That's not fun.
That is definitely true. So I tell people, consider all the other factors. I mean, do we really want the hassle? And it's sometimes not as more expensive. Lately, I found, Mark, that some of the flights just going out of Dallas, sometimes I would compare them, were definitely just a little bit more to fly to Shreveport. I think they've started to accommodate us. I don't think they're charging as much as they said that lady. But see, having more and more flights, they have more seats available, so et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
So the other suggestion I've had, I had this one lady tell me that she was in dire condition, but our Shreveport Regional Airport and the people there were so accommodating. She had put her passports inside of her checked bag. And so she went up to get her ticket, and they said, "Don't you have an international flight? You're going to be flying out of Dallas, going international. Where's your passport? Oh, it's not with me. Do I need it now? Yes, you need it now.
Yes, always keep your passport with you. Always, always.
And the other thing I thought was pretty interesting is, beginning on May 7th, we will have the new Louisiana Star requirement.
Yeah, so TSA is going to require everyone to have a real ID, which is the little gold star in the upper right corner of your driver's license, to go through the TSA. That is one of the forms of ID. So if you have a passport, they'll accept that. But if you're planning on using your driver's license as your method to get through the TSA checkpoint, it has to be a real ID with that gold star in the upper right-hand corner.
And hopefully everybody's going to be getting one, though I'm sure it's going to be a rush in around April and May for people getting them early.
Probably so.
And Gary's going to get his beginning in January or February.
But yes, do that.
Mine comes up due anyway, so it's perfect timing.
Well, there you go. But TSA, they had a press conference last month. They're reminding people that, hey, you only have a little bit of time left to do that, and they will not be letting people through without a real ID. So
Wow. And that's all over the country.
That's not just a Shreveport thing. That's anywhere, any of the TSA checkpoints. So obviously there's about 8 forms of ID that will get you through the checkpoint. Like I mentioned, a passport's one of them. But if you're planning on using if you only have a driver's license, it's got to be that real ID.
Well, that's good advice. The other thing we want to just comment on is if you ever have any damaged check bags that come to your arrive into Shreveport Airport, you need to contact the airline customer services as soon as possible, right?
Yes. And especially if you're there during the day, at night it's a little more tricky sometimes because the staff may be working more than one flight that comes in at the same time. But try to contact someone from the airline while you're still at the airport. If not, call their toll-free number and report the baggage damage right then. They may make you go back up to the airport the next day to meet with the station manager because that's typically who handles all the damaged baggage. But let them know as soon as you realize your bag is damaged.
That's good. Well, thank you again, Mark. That was very educational for me and my listeners out there. Again, best wishes to you. And again, I compliment you on the wonderful Christmas lights at our fabulous Shreveport Regional Airport.
Thank you for having me.
They were beautiful. Well, thank you again. Best wishes to you for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yes, same to you.
Join us next Saturday for another show that could benefit you or your loved ones. Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our radio show. Make plans to attend the 2025 Independence Bowl game on Saturday, December the 28th at 8:15 p.m. Best wishes to everyone for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I'm Gary Kaligas wishing you and yours the best of times both today and every day. Have a great day.